Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our gospel text this morning from Mark, the 10th chapter, is what we're going to be focusing on. And to be honest with you, that's kind of a minefield for preachers, right? There's a lot of things in there we could hit on. We could spend our time talking about divorce or marriage or the law or many other topics that could make our 21st century brain kind of ache, but I don't think any of those things in the first part of that gospel lesson is really the point of that text. I mean, granted, it's in the Bible. It's good stuff, right? There are things we should take away from it. And I'm very glad that the people who decided on the pericope readings have put this other part in there with Jesus and the children. And I think you can't understand the first part of that text without understanding the second part of the text. You see, at times, believers in Christ like you and me, we sometimes think the life of a Christian is this upward slope, right? The more times we go to church, the more times we spend reading our Bible, that eventually our life gets progressively better and better and better. You know, maybe it's less stressful, our bank accounts growing fatter, our blessings being heaped upon us on earth. And I think perhaps that's what the Pharisees were thinking about when they came to trap Jesus in the question. I also think it's probably behind the disciples' message when they are behind some closed doors asking Jesus those same questions. You know, but let's talk about those Pharisees for just a second. Maybe you remember or have heard about the Pharisees. They were the ones who followed the law just to a T. They spent their lives learning it and living it out. And they come to Jesus to try to trap him. You know, and their question concerned kind of a continuum of faith. They think they're being so smart trying to trap him in this question. Now, don't get me wrong, I think Jesus does a good job. He answers the question, he points back to the law. Now, the question was about the law, and Jesus gives a law answer, but if we stop our text there, we realize that we have no hope, because the law does not save. The law is only there to condemn, and it's really not the point of the text. And remember, the three most important things when you read a Bible passage is very similar to real estate, right? What are the three most important things in real estate? Location, 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 right? When you're reading a Bible text, the three most important things are context, context, context. We got to see where this kind of fits in. And taken out of context, you're going to kind of miss what Mark kind of wants us to see and what I hope maybe you will see this morning in this text. Our life of faith is not plotted on an X and Y axis. It does not have a slope upward. In fact, if you would try to plot the events on your life, it's going to be like a scatter plot. It's going to be all over the place. For us to really understand this text and indeed the entire message of Jesus, we really need to abandon the idea that our life is an upward slope and see it as more like a circle. You know, Mark points out that what is more important than trying to ascertain faith by an intellectual assent, and he reminds us that faith is a gift given to children. It's a gift given to children. And I don't think it's beyond the text to say that this is not just talking about people on a chronological scale. This is talking about each and every one of us sitting here today. For us to understand this text, we have to go back to the beginning, back when we were children. Mark points out that it's what's more important than trying to understand this is to understand the gift that God gives to you, his child. Let's just look at the second half of Mark. You can look at it in a Bible, in a device, if you have it in front of you. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 13. And they were bringing little children to come to him. Remember, this is happening right after Jesus has this conversation with the Pharisees and with his disciples. Why are they bringing him? So that he, meaning Jesus, might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, and laying his hands upon them. I find this to be a very tender moment in the ministry of Jesus. He's had kind of this interaction. One might see it as a conflict with the Pharisees. Even his own disciples are kind of pushing him on this. And then we see Jesus opening up his arms to the children. As I mull this text over in my mind this past couple of weeks, as I've been preparing this message, I was drawn to a song that I'm sure you all know, and if you want to sing it along with me, you can, but it goes like this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now, I know that song wasn't around when the children were gathering with Jesus, but I think that same kind of an idea and a message they walked away with. Now, you probably know those words by heart. I know those words by heart. You didn't need to, sang along with me. Thank you very much. I didn't have to sing a solo. But I don't know if you've really looked at those words, if you've really dissected them, especially in the light of this text in Mark chapter 10. Friends, let me tell you, there's some powerful words, and they work really well with this gospel lesson and reminds us that we are all children of our Heavenly Father. The roots of the song go back to 1860. I did a little bit of research on this. Anna Warner used the passage from her sister Susan's novel to become the text of the song. William Bradbury added a tune and added the chorus, and it is a song that is sung across the world. In fact, a number of years ago, I was on a trip in Kenya. I was south of Nairobi visiting a site from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya at a boarding school for children. And they wanted to sing a song to all of us visitors. First song they sang, "Jesus Loves Me." Amazing, amazing. Now, but if you're like me, you can sing the song and not even think about the words. I mean, it happens often with songs that we're well acquainted with. But I want to take a look at the text and look at it through this lens of Mark chapter 10 and Jesus with the children. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's a fascinating phrase. It's an assertion of faith. Faith that has been given to us. Jesus loves me, this I know. It's the foundation of our belief. It's what Jesus was showing to the children and what he would show to the Pharisees that day and his disciples. It's what we stand upon every day, that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. It's very simple. Where do we find the proof of that? Well, where does the song go? For the Bible tells me so. It's the Word of God, the Word of God that is sure and certain, where our hope is found. In a good Lutheran congregation, we would throw a Latin phrase in here, right? So let me do that for some of you. Sola Scriptura, right? Scripture alone. This is where our hope is found. But we continue. The love of Jesus then extends to all. Where does the song go? Little ones to him belong. Now, I know it's not just those in stature or in age, but it is also those who are maybe little in their faith, new to believing what Jesus has said. But little ones belong to him. It's the heart of Jesus' words in our gospel for today. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. All of us, young and old, belong to Jesus. We were bought at a price. Jesus took your sins to the cross, destroyed them in the open tomb, and he brings to you life. And Jesus continues in our text, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." That doesn't mean that Jesus is making an exclusive claim that faith can only come to those who are young. Think about what's going to happen soon in the life of Jesus. He's nailed to the cross. He looks to the thief at his side, and that day he was with him in paradise. That was not a young child there, but that person was gifted faith, not just faith, but saving faith. This song, which is first taught to children, reminds us that a childlike faith is what we have all been given. Again, it's not about intellectual assent, but about belonging to Jesus. You know, I could just see the children leaving their encounter with Jesus, humming the song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for he just told me so." But the song goes on. "They are weak, but he is strong." The truth is, friends, is that sin makes us all weak, you and me. Scripture is clear, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We are all weak. The sinful flesh drags us down, and it makes us incapable of freeing ourselves from the grip of sin. I'm not sure what that sin is in your life, but yeah, I know it's there. We are all sinners in need of grace, but the strong arms of Jesus are strong enough to hold our weak flesh. And to me, this shows just how much Jesus cares. Even in our weakened condition, we are precious in the sight of God. We are precious in his eyes. He is strong, and he brings us into his glorious presence, where then we can boldly sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me." We are little ones in the sight of God, but it does not mean that we are insignificant. We are all precious to God because our lives are sacred to him. He created you special. He created you to be one of a kind. It was God who gave breath to life back in the garden, and it's by his Spirit that life is sustained. See, eternal life and the kingdom of God is not simply just a churchy slogan. It's the true belief that we have as Christians, as followers of Jesus. It's not just an assertion, it's a confession. It's not something that we just reflect upon occasionally, but we act upon daily. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The Bible's clear. Listen to the words from 1 John chapter 4. "This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the payment for our sins." And the sweet words of Jesus himself from John 3:16. "God loved the world this way, that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him would not die, but would have eternal life." Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. God gave his Son to bring you life. He came to restore your broken image. Through Jesus' perfect life and his innocent suffering and death, you have been sanctified, you have been declared holy, you are forgiven. Jesus willingly gave up his life on the cross that you might be born again as his dearly loved and forgiven child. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus cares for the little ones, the lowly, the less fortunate, the lepers, and the lost. And Jesus cares for you. No matter what you're going through, no matter the pain that you are feeling, no matter the grief that you are experiencing, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Just think about Jesus, who Who did he spend time with? An outcast Samaritan woman at the well, a band of lepers, the ill, the infirm, the blind, the deaf, the dregs of society. And Jesus spent time with them and touched them and dignified their life on this side of heaven and resolutely went to the cross to sanctify their life and to guarantee eternal life with him. He did it for the children that day. He did it for his disciples. He even did it for the Pharisees. And he does it for you today. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible says it. I believe it. And I am here to share that truth with you today. You are his child. You are loved. You are forgiven. Today, he has gathered his redeemed and forgiven children in houses of worship like this and all over the world where we experience the life, death, and resurrection of the author of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And when we gather at the communion rail, we come face to face with that same Jesus who welcomed the children on that day as he takes you in his arms and as he blesses you. When he comes to us in bread and in wine, he is truly present. When Jesus died on the cross, he took your sin and everything that causes death with him. And when he rose again, he destroyed death and he gives you life. This is love. This is life. Life in the kingdom with Jesus is not a concept. It's not an idea. It's not even a state of being. It's a person. And his name is Jesus. And he welcomes you today. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.